On today's podcast, the family. I can't talk.
That's normal.
Am I doing the welcome to the family goals, or am I just saying on today's podcast?
Yeah, just on today's episode.
Please put some of that in there, yeah. Really, if you can.
Are you still recording?
All right, today's Family Goals podcast, I'm going to take this over because Pastor Jay can't speak. The words are not coming out great, but we talk about creating your 20-mile march, and what else was fun?
Well, I love the fact that you had current NFL football player reach out to you and say, I need you to coach me. I want you to help coach me.
Help me help you. We're human, dude. You ready?
Yeah.
Like, it ain't like we got this figured out. We don't. Well, you might think you do. I don't.
Well, I have a grandchild.
Yeah. You're old.
Like the older.
I mean, just like last show when you're talking about subtitles, and it's just it just makes you real. I don't feel like there's that big of an age difference.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about it, Angel.
Yeah, I don't feel like there's that big of a difference between me and you, but then I realized the 20-year difference.
I was thinking this morning, I was wondering, do you view me like dad, or do you view me like an older brother?
That's funny. I was thinking grandpa. Grandpa. That's hilarious.
Like, I'm not older than your parents. Your parents are older than me.
You're about my mom's age?
No.
How old are you?
55.
I mean, she's 64. So yeah. Too far off. I mean.
Yeah.
It's more of a friend mentor. How about that? Friend mentor. Does that make it sound better?
It makes it sound good.
Okay.
Yeah, so I met this guy Sunday at church. And so, you know when you just notice somebody who's like 6'8", 6'9"?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, like, when you just kind of notice somebody that their head hits the door on the way in? Yeah, got it, for
like
sure.
I'm looking across the church, and this guy's like a head taller than everybody else. Like, I've got to meet this guy.
Yeah.
Like, who is this guy? And come to find out, he played in the NBA.
Oh.
Mostly played overseas, but he's a former NBA player, former New York Knicks. He's part of the player development for New York Knicks, and he's now coaching locally.
Nice.
And I said, well, I would recruit you to be on our church basketball team, but I got kicked off the church basketball team. So,
yeah.
You know, he couldn't believe the pastor got kicked off his own team.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. But here's the thing. Everyone in the congregation just went, okay, so I got to be really tall to get recognized and then go speak to that person to find out their story? Is that that's the only way you're going to go up and speak to people?
I speak to everybody.
Man, you don't speak to everybody. It's impossible to speak to everybody.
I walk slowly through the crowd.
That's your natural gait. That's why you got kicked off the church team.
How's the church team going, by the way?
Well, solid. TJ kicked us out of the league, I think. But besides that, I think it's great.
So don't you think, you know, Pastor Jay gets kicked off the team and the team no longer exists?
Yeah.
Like, is there a correlation there?
I think there's something to that, probably. Yeah. Listen, you're not kicked off the team, to be clear. Like, we've made this a fun joke, but, like, you can absolutely play. Now, we don't want you to shoot every time you touch it, which you... Because you have the mentality of, like, the Mamba, but you ain't the Mamba. I mean, so, but nah, it's good. I like that you're thinking about the church.
Let's get back to some of this parenting stuff. So I think there's a, you meant, it was a throwaway statement, but I think it probably caught a lot of listeners' attention. You said Nicholas is not on social media, and he's 16 years old. I mean, he has a driver's license. I mean, he can drive wherever he wants. Can he drive anywhere he wants to go?
Yeah.
There's no limits to where he can drive?
I mean, we'd have to discuss it. Like, but if he wanted to drive somewhere, like, where?
He's got no parent. I mean, he's pretty much. Can he drive to Athens?
Sure.
Okay.
It's right down the road.
Okay. So why, if he can drive anywhere he wants to drive, do anything he wants to do, why does he not have social media?
He hasn't wanted social media. I think that's been the biggest.
So if he came to you and said, hey, I want social media, what would you say?
He's actually just starting to, like, ask, and he's asked. I think he's asked his mother, and we've talked about it a little bit. Like, where do we stand on X? Like, which is basically Twitter. It's the old Twitter. But like, here's my thing on social media as a parent.
The kids are on Snapchat.
The kids, yeah, a lot of them are on Snapchat.
Is he on Snapchat?
No, God, okay. That's social media.
Okay.
So is Instagram. So is Facebook. Just this kid, all these out there. Just TikTok. Those are all social
media. And
there's
other things we don't even know about. There's things we probably don't even know about.
No. And listen, there's ways on their phones to hide all this stuff. Like, they hear from their friends about all this stuff. But Yeah, I mean, I understand it, and I understand the philosophy that people are going to say that at some point they'll be on social media. I just think the longer the wait, the better. Mm-hmm. Because to me, social media is a huge comparison game. And I think the thoughts you think is mostly comparison. And it's usually not positive. You don't usually look at somebody, oh, I got a better life than them. You usually look at them like, golly, they get to do this. They get to do that. I don't get to do that. Like, oh, they're a star.
Everybody's putting their best foot forward on social media.
And so, again, I think the older we get, the more our brain is more formed and more in a better place where you can take that information in and not let it affect you. And so, I mean, I would argue with anybody, like, social media, I think, is something that's a battle that we'll pick, because I think that is a hard issue. Mm-hmm. It's going to be something that is going to affect this. And if it affects that, that's not good. And so I think it's a...
So you don't have a hard and fast rule on age. Like, okay, when he turns 18, he can get social media. It's just kind of more like we're just taking it one day at a time, one step at a time.
Yeah. And we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. One thing I'm learning as a parent is never say never. That was stupid. I did a lot of that. I'll never do that. And you're like,
you'll see somebody else, some other parent. You're like, well, we'll never be like that. You know, the crying baby in the restaurant and then, type thing.
I mean, and you just learn, like, as you get experience and as you grow, like, it's, they're changing, you're changing. And there's just a lot of factors that are involved. So I mean, that's why parenting is the hardest job in the world. But yeah, I definitely don't say never anymore. He'll never have social media. Like, he's going to have social media. Here's the thing.
Does he have a smartphone or a flip phone?
He has a smartphone. But, like, there's another thing, too. Like, they can send clips. They can still view clips on social media that are sent to them specifically. Like, you can still view it.
Okay.
You can view it, and it closes. He'll send clips to me about somebody, like Dion talking about something. Mm-hmm. By the way, Dion's going to come on the pod, so that'll be good.
Is he?
He said he wants to come on, so we'll definitely get him on. But, like, he'll send me clips, so you can still see things that are on social media that they see all these TikTok videos. Their friends show them all this stuff. Like, mm-hmm. We're trying to keep the brain rot as far away as we possibly can. But again, they're around this stuff. They're seeing it. They're living in the world. Like, they're hearing things that would I prefer them not to hear? Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that doesn't mean I want it to be all the time. And they're not going to hear it from me and Lindsay when we're at our house. And they're going to get, they're going to get the word of God at our house. And they're going to see how we treat each other and see how we talk. And how we talk is critically important because, I see so much negativity with parents especially towards coaches. Like, mm-hmm. if you talk badly about the coach, your kid's going to think badly about the coach. Like, I don't know if that's a news flash. I think people need to hear that because I'm blown away that the way people talk about other coaches in front of their kids. I'm like, do you think he's going to respect his coach now? Don't you want him to respect his coach? You should never say negative things about a coach in front of him. Mm-hmm. That's like saying negative things about mom and your dad. Like, you want to keep that as positive as possible and protect that as much as possible. And when you're throwing negativity, you don't do that.
And I think if you're talking negative about a youth league coach or a high school coach, the only reason someone's coaching high school sports is because they love it and because they love the kids. Like, there's no, like, they're not making a lot of money.
No.
I mean, I can see you being critical of, like, a NFL coach or, like, a college coach that's getting paid millions and millions of dollars. But, like, a high school coach, I mean, if they got paid per hour, it'd be like a nickel.
It ain't much.
And they're doing it because they love the kids and they want to invest in the kids and love the sport. And the high school coaches, they see so much more. I mean, most of them see so much more than just coaching kids. They're developing men, they're developing women, they're trying to build character, they're trying to help these kids be successful. And we mentioned earlier, like, a lot of these kids don't have parents, they don't have dads at home, they don't have men investing in their lives. And so, like a high school coach, I think about Coach Dyer, the amount of players he poured into that didn't have dads. I mean, and they're all, even these players from 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 15 years, they're still texting. They're still reaching out, and they're still like, hey, coach, look what I did. Hey, coach, I got married. Hey, coach, I had a child. You know, it's like it was so much more to him than just winning and losing football
games. Special. He's a special dude. But, like, as a coach, you're also around him all the time. And you see the practices all the time. And the parents, you don't see that. Mm-hmm. Like, you just get little snippets here and there, and then you try to piece it together. Like, we're with them every day. We're with them in practice. Like, I have so many people that look at, like, oh, well, so-and-so's taller, so-and-so's more athletic. Like, yeah, but come to practice. Like, watch them work. Watch them not know their plays. Like, there's so many things that goes into it, but we want to take a snapshot of a game that we go to and go, oh, I know better. Mm-hmm. Really? Like, there's some bad coaches out there. There is. Like, there's bad coaches everywhere. But, like, to think that you can know what's going on inside of a program, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, on a side note, by the way, like, because of this podcast, I actually started, like, coaching men. Because a guy reached out that plays in the NFL and reached out about, hey, like, your stuff keeps popping up and family goal stuff keeps popping up on my feed. And, like, I feel like God wants us to talk.
Oh, that's cool.
How cool is that, man?
That's,
like,
awesome.
Unbelievable. But we need coaches. And here's the thing.
What are you coaching him in?
Just through life.
Like discipleship?
Yeah.
Like life coach?
Like, yeah. Like learning, like the things that are important to you. And here's the thing. We all have these things. Everybody wants to be a great dad. Everybody wants to be a great husband. Everybody wants a thriving and flourishing career. Why doesn't everyone have it? Because you've got to be willing to do what it takes. And that means making small goals today. Right? Like, how am I going to take ground today in my personal life? How am I going to, first of all, I got to set goals. If I don't set them, I can't hold myself accountable to them. But, like, that's what's cool is, like, I'm literally coming beside him and, like, hey, we said these are our goals. We're going to talk next week. Like,
so I want to dive deeper into this. So you got this NFL players reached out to you, and he's basically saying, hey, I'm picking up what you're putting down. I'm catching what you're throwing. I like what keeps popping up on my feed. Can you coach me?
Yeah.
So what's the first thing you did with him? Like what, do you have some program? You have some plan?
Yeah.
You have, like, what's the plan? What's the program?
Well, I've done this with another buddy who's a coach, and his name, and it doesn't matter. I'm not going to say names, but, like, I've went through this program and I understand what it is, and it's the Brave Coaching Group. But, like, it's kind of cool because you have the curriculum now, but you ask the questions.
So you have a curriculum.
Yeah. Yeah. But I ask the questions of, like, rate this on a scale of 1 to 10. What are your most pressing things you want to get accomplished? What is X, Y, and Z? So, like, literally.
So you're helping him set goals.
100,000,000%. Okay. Like, literally, I can get a quick survey of what's important to him. And then now we go into, like,
career, family, football.
Yeah. Whatever. God was one of the first things he said. Like, so, like, now we know what's important. So now it's like the 20-mile march. Right? Do you remember the 20-mile march? Mm-hmm. It's in the South Pole, and, like, two teams did a 20-mile march. This was, like, in the early 1900s.
And one mapped out the plan and one didn't.
Well, don't ruin the whole story. I'm about to tell the story, you idiot.
Well, you're asking me if I
remember. I said if you remember the story. That's like saying the sermon. Do you remember the sermon? Oh, yeah, in the sermon when we're teaching about it, you knucklehead. So, like, there was two teams that took off. The first team said, when the weather is good, we're going to grind. And we're going to get 40 to 60 miles. And we got to get to the South Pole and get back. So it's a race. The second team said, no matter the weather, no matter the conditions, whatever it is, we're doing 20 miles a day. So which team do you think won?
The 20 miles a day.
The 20 miles a day.
Yeah.
Like, it can't be the weather outside that dictates whether we do something. Like, we have to take those steps and we have to take ground and we have to be, first of all, willing to prioritize our life. And then that gets back to being like, now I got to be selfish in the morning so I can be selfless the rest of the day. And so it's about helping him and others. Like, what's your 20-mile march look like? Like, what does that look like every day? Is it God first? Is it wife first? Is it family first? Is it career first? Okay. Well, now what does that look like? Now let's break this down into steps that we're going to accomplish this week. Like, and it's amazing, man. It's amazing what happens when you start to prioritize things in your life. Like, for a long time, you've prioritized your walk with God. Mm-hmm. It continues to grow. It continues to flourish because you wake up every morning and you pray. You wake up every morning and you read your Bible. Mm-hmm. Like,
I like what you said. You be selfish in the morning so you can be selfless the rest of the day.
You can be selfless the rest of the day. Yeah, I mean, think about it. Like,
because in the morning, you're selfish with your time.
Selfish with your time. And that might mean I have to get up 45 minutes early. Mm-hmm. So if I got to go to bed 45 minutes early, so be it. But like, it's a non-negotiable. And once we start to build these, habits in our lives, man, then we get to walk in it. And I would argue when you become a better, in any area of life, when you become your relationship with God grows, your relationship with your spouse grows, mm-hmm. like your relationship with friends grow. Like, so
all the disciplines are intertwined.
They're all intertwined.
Spiritual, physical, relational.
Yeah. And family. So like, just think about that, like with you, whatever that is, whatever that looks like for you in your life, like you've got to iron out your 20-mile march and you've got to make sure that you say like, these are the areas. These are the goals. And then I love it because I'm like, I'm going to talk to you next week. But I texted him today and I was like, how's the 20-mile march going?
So he sets up his 20-mile march.
Yeah.
And then you ask him questions to help him set up. So once you know what his, is it like 5 or 7 or 10 things? I mean,
It's 3 things this week for him.
3 things.
Yeah. So now we got 3 things that, 3 areas.
And he knows you're going to ask him about it. 100%. He knows you're going to hold him accountable.
So we've created accountability.
Yeah.
Like, we've been, a lot of us athletes have been coached our whole life. And so when the coaching stops, it becomes hard. Like, I don't know what I need to do. Like, I want to be a great dad. What does that look like? That's why family goals exist, right? Like, we're trying to help people walk in their purpose. Mm-hmm. And so this is more intimate and it's really, really cool. It's fantastic. Like, it's freaking awesome. I've loved every second of it because you get to go help somebody realize. And here's the thing. Like, this dude's got two young kids, another kid on the way. Like, think about all the things we've screwed up as parents. Like, and to be able to go back and talk to him and to talk about some of the things you're going with. How about marriage? Mm-hmm. Like, married less than 7-8 years. Like, think about all the things we mm-hmm. could go back. Like, I told this in small group the other day. I'll never forget. Signed my contract. Everybody knows the money you make, by the way. You make millions of dollars in the NFL. So you sign your contract as a 17th pick. I will never forget. I'm so driven on like being cheap still and not wasting money. And Lindsay walks across the living room and she's got a bag of Target in her hand. And I was like, "What did you get?" She was like, "I got some clothes." I was like, "Did you need clothes?" And she was like, "What do you mean? Did I need clothes?" I was like, and in my head, I'm just going, "We got money. Doesn't mean we need to waste it, right?" Like, and I would never do this now. By the way, This is why I'm telling you, like, learning in the journey, literally, like, that was awful, stupid. She's like, "I could have gone to Coach. I could have gone to Louis Vuitton. I got a couple of shirts from Target."
Target.
And
you're,
I was like,
"You're giving her a hard time for buying some clothes
and
at Target?"
I literally, like, I was like, "Oh, that's a bad, that's a," like, you talk about a strikeout. Like, that was a big swing and a miss. Big, huge, huge swing. But now, like, tell that story.
But those are lessons learned.
Yeah. But tell those stories. And listen, again.
It's like me asking, "Where's the beef?"
Yes. Yeah. Well, not now. Yeah. You learned in that one and you didn't do it again. That was pertaining to dinner, by the way, just to be clear. just to make sure we don't get it twisted.
What else would it be pertaining to?
You're old, so you don't understand that and might not get it. But that's where it's, there's so much value in, mm-hmm. in anything in life. When you're walking, like when I have the ability to be with you, you have grown kids and listen to, like, find those people in your life that you really respect how they raise their kids and then pick their brains and listen to them. And so I think, you know, I think coaching is big for all of us.
Well, what you're doing with this NFL players is very similar to what I try to do with my grown kids. Because you move into more of a coaching role. And so you're not trying to tell them what to do, but you're asking them, "Hey, what do you want to see happen this year? What do you want to accomplish? And then how can I pray for you?" Is another good way of asking the question. Like, what's big in your life that you want me to pray about? And then send them those texts like, "Hey, I'm praying this for you." So I think that'd be something good you could even do with Nicholas and Leah. Like, "Hey, what can I pray for you about this week?" And then just sending them a text saying, "Hey, I'm praying for you." So my daughter's a Christian counselor.
Yeah.
And she was so I took her. I love this. One of my biggest answered prayers last year was that my daughter and her husband would move close to us. They were looking up in North Georgia for a house. Long story short, they moved to Monroe, like 20 minutes from the house. And then her new company, her business, her practice, is literally 10 minutes from the church. So I'll take her to lunch.
That's amazing.
You want to spend time with
you. And you prayed for that?
Yeah, and God answered that prayer.
That's cool.
That was probably the biggest prayer, like that in my dad's health last year. But when I was at lunch with my daughter, she just, it was a throwaway statement. She said, hey, I've got, because I was asking her how her business was going, how her counseling practice was going. She said, well, I have 8 appointments on Monday. And so it was MLK Day, like it was a day off.
That's a lot.
For most people, but 8 appointments.
That's a lot.
And so I just registered that in my brain. She had 8 appointments that day. So Monday, about lunch, I said, hey, I know you've got 8 appointments today. I just want you to know I'm praying for endurance for you. I'm praying that God's grace is sufficient for you.
That's kind of dope.
And so she sent back, thank you. I needed that to make it through the day.
Me too.
So just little things like that.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't tell me to pray for that day, but I registered that. Okay, that's a big day for her.
Did you write it down or did you just remembered it?
I just remembered it.
That's good.
Well, I just remembered it.
Because you were listening.
I was listening.
Because you were engaged and it mattered what she was saying, you were able to remember that.
Well, I think it's similar to what Lindsay, you were saying earlier, maybe in the last podcast, about her picking up on some clues or picking up. I think just paying attention.
It matters.
But I love, so let's get back to you coaching this guy.
Liking this, aren't you?
I'm loving this. I never thought about, but it makes total sense to me that if especially a pro athlete, they've had a coach their whole lives.
Help them get structured, help them get organized, tell them what steps to take.
So it just makes sense to have a life coach, to have someone, and of course in our Christian circles and church, we call it discipleship, you know, discipling others, pouring into others. So is it like a year commitment? Is it 6 months? Y'all just going with the however God leads?
We started with 6 months, and we just said we're going to do 6 months and then reassess and see how we like it. But like I've been through this, and I wrote down goals, and it's funny. One of the first things I wrote down a year ago was I want to be more others focused and not as focused on me. And I literally was going through my notes that first session, and that's what I said. That's what I saw. That was like one of the first things I wrote down. And now, a year later, because I'm getting more organized, because I've done this, I'm able to do that. I mean, I just with a plan, I'm able to walk in my purpose way better. Mm-hmm. And I think so. You know, business people, like this is a big world for business people, coaches, like real coaches, like college football coaches. I got a meeting with a college football player that everyone would know, like that's been reached out to me about it. And I think this is something that God's put in my life now for a reason that I want to just chase and pursue, because how great is it that you get to help people every day? Mm-hmm. Like you literally get to think about ways to help someone grow to the best of their ability. And that's freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what God wants from all of us, right? Our daily interactions are growing someone and helping. And how can we make them think better? And again, I think we go through those stages, and I've talked about this, like we have those stages where we're the warrior and we're fighting and we're in it. And then we have those stages where we start to graduate and we're the mentor. And so I think that's a stage that I'm in next, you know?
That's got to be encouraging for you, because we talk a lot about in discipleship having a life worth emulating. And because you have a life worth emulating, you now have people reaching out to you. It's not like you're trying to start some coaching business. But you have people reaching out to you, and I love that you're willing to take the time to invest in them, just to be other-centered, to help somebody else along the journey.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, you've been doing this for years, so stop patting me on the back. Like, I think it's
But it's exciting for me, because I don't know, years. I mean, I don't know if you remember, like before a church basketball game, which our true friendship began around church basketball. You know what I'm saying? That's when you and I spent.
You get more bonding.
Where we spent more time together.
Yeah.
And
all the practices, those 4 or 5 days a week of practice we had.
Yeah, there was no practice. It was just showing up for the games. But I remember probably 15 years ago when I first met you, we're sitting in the front seat of your truck, and you had a notepad out, and you were wanting to have a greater impact. You were wanting to, and we talked about kind of starting small, but it's kind of cool to see this, the influence and impact come to fruition from like 15 years ago sitting in your, you know, you were just kind of dreaming back then about what
but it started with a small notepad. Yeah. And action steps, right? Like
I think the very first step is you spoke to our church youth group.
Yeah. Probably not well either.
Like 100 kids or something.
Yeah. Now you speak to.
Yeah.
Now
so it's like baby steps, but I mean,
all have that. We all have that ability. Like we all have the ability to take our lives to the next step, to the next level. But it's got to be very intentional, right? Like we've got to think about what we're doing on a weekly basis. We got to kind of grade ourselves. We got to continue to make goals. We got to have the musts, the coulds, and the shoulds. You know, like what are the musts we're gonna do? What are the coulds we could be? Like some of those things in our lives that are non-negotiables, and some of those things that like that's gonna be awesome in the future. Like I'd love to be able to do that, and then we slowly just start creeping. And then you look up and you're like, bro, like I can do this. And I just talked to the guy the other day I talked to him about, I was like, you know, you want to walk in purpose with God and you want to live a life worth emulating and a life that's awesome. You know, it's cool. It's like you get up in the morning and you read your Bible and you read a chapter a day. Like let's start in Psalms, let's start in Proverbs. And I was like, it's not the act of checking the box. It's the act of it. Just put it right here. And you know what it does? It comes out of here. Like it's literally going to continue to throughout your day. You're going to walk in your purpose.
Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah. So,
you know, one of the things I never thought about before, but since knowing you for a while, knowing some of your friends, being around other former NFL football players, most people only play the NFL for 4 or 5 years.
At the most.
Like you think about.
The average career is 2 years.
Is that what it is?
The average career in the NFL is 2.3 years.
So in my mind, I used to think, you're thinking of the Tom Brady's, you're thinking of the Peyton Manning's, like lifelong career in the NFL. But even those guys, after they're done, they've got to do something.
Got to find something.
You've lived your whole life to play football. Now you're 27 years old, 30 years old. Football's over. We got a whole life ahead of you.
Yep.
Like, what are you going to do? I think coming alongside of some of these guys and helping them be successful,
I think that's the
goal
for
the rest of their lives.
Yeah, and if you can walk in your purpose where you're at, and then you start to say like, hey, this is a goal, and now we start daily doing those goals, we're gonna look up when you're done, and you're gonna be like, all right, I've got this built. You know, like I've been working towards this. It's a bad idea in life to go, I don't know what's gonna happen when I get there. We'll figure it out. That's a really bad idea.
If you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it.
You're
going to
hit nothing.
Yeah.
And if you aim at that wall and you're trying to hit a golf ball and you're faced that way, you dang sure ain't going to get it accomplished, right? So I think that's the biggest part is but
alignment and assignment.
Alignment affects assignment.
I'm quoting Coach Dyer. I've been to so many football practices.
I mean, and I think that's the but again, it all boils down to can you make yourself get selfish with your time in the morning? And start to chase those goals and really maximize your mornings, and then throughout the day you can now start, like, kids are important to me after 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, like, so whatever we need to get done, I need to get done early, and so I think all this works together. It's super cool. But if you're looking for that vision, if you're looking for what's next and you don't know what it is, like, start with those tasks. Start with writing down the things that are really, really important. And then we can start working towards the action steps of what that looks like and how we walk in it. And then, man, think about the freedom that comes with that. And think about when you look up and you're like, God, I did that. Like, I did that. I did that. It could be fun.
So people ask me all the time, what's next? I know you probably don't want to talk about yourself, but people are asking, what are you going to do next? Are you going to...
When I grow up?
When you grow
up. Well, when I grow up.
When you mature.
When I grow up, I want to be a fireman.
No, but I know post-ESPN. I keep telling people, well, number one priority for David, of course, was relationship with God and church and all that. But is his kids are still in high school. And he's wanting to be there for coaching Nicholas, coaching Leah. Like, that's at least 3 more years.
Yep. 100%.
So, you know, that's priority number one. If he can do some things around that.
Yeah, we'll figure those out. But like, you know, I want to walk, just like I'm telling you about this coaching stuff, like I want to walk in my purpose. Like what avenue does God have me in that I can make the biggest difference right now? And so Like, to me, that's high school coaching right now. Speaking right now. I got a speaking engagement tonight. I got a bunch of I got the corporate gigs are going now. Like, I got Aflac and Garter World. So I got different things that are going. But again, those are things that I'm pursuing because those are things that I enjoy that brings return on mission because I get to hopefully give something of myself and hopefully change people and the way they think. And then you make a difference. So that, like, that's what it looks like for me. I'm still doing the EA Sports, you know, voiceover stuff. And, you know, but there's just, it's the purpose of what I want to accomplish in my life. And I think coaching down the road is 100% an option for me, but just, you know, like coaching in college and I've had that opportunity, but right now it's here, right? Like right now it's coaching girls varsity basketball that makes you want to pull your hair out.
Jennifer and I are going to come out next week and watch y'all play. I was talking to Lindsay.
It'd be tough to come out next week because there's no games next week. I don't think.
But she said y'all played.
I think we play Friday. We play Friday this week.
That's like out of town.
Yeah, we play Friday the 31st, and then next week. Oh, next Tuesday we play Walnut Grove. Yeah.
And who knows when this podcast is coming out?
Oh yeah, it's true. But nobody knows where we play in something unless you're around here anyway. So,
well, you said something. We kind of had a pretty intense podcast
therapy session
interview. Well, I'm going back to like the first public interview you had after ESPN let you go, and I remember you saying that you didn't want to push doors open. Like, you're not going to, if a door's barely cracked, you're not going to push it open. Like, yeah. And I think it's pretty cool. A couple years on the other side of that, like some of the opportunities that you're now having weren't even a reality. You didn't even know they were a possibility back then. And I'm
like writing a children's book.
Yeah. Like writing a children's
never
book.
Never thought that would happen.
Or like coaching an NFL player, like, you know, life coaching an NFL player. Yeah. Like those, some of those things weren't on the radar. But I think as you're walking with God and he opens doors and you're faithful to walk through those doors, other doors open. And so it's kind of hard to have like a, you know, back in the day, you used to do these like 5-year plans or 10-year plan. I mean, you can't.
I like 1 week.
1 week.
That's what
you like.
I'm serious. I mean, you're right. You're not wrong about that. Like, I don't look at the calendar until tonight when I go to bed about what's coming tomorrow because I don't care. But like, definitely having those weekly goals, those things that I'm going to accomplish.
You're basically, like, how can I be the best version of myself this week?
Yeah.
And then you evaluate that and move on to the
And if I don't keep a scoreboard, I don't know if I succeeded or failed. And then, you know, and just like with the kids, with your wife, like what, like to me, did I create a memory today with my kids? Like how do I create a memory?
Yeah.
Like what does that look like today? And if I'm thinking in my head, how do I create a memory? I'm very likely to do it. And it could be the stupidest thing in the world. It could be jumping on the trampoline, created a memory. Like how did I connect and make that moment really, really cool? You know, like Wes's daughter came over the other day and how do you create a moment with Kate? Like, how do you like do something funny or silly that like helps impact them? That makes them, it was fun. That was cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, but how do we do those things on the daily basis with our wives? Like, what did it look like with my wife? And what did I connect with her in a way I wanted to connect with her? But what are those steps I'm taking? And again, like date nights are huge, right? Not everybody has an opportunity to have a date night. Like not everybody has a sitter all the time. Okay, we're putting the kids to bed. I'm cooking you a steak. We're going to go in the bedroom. We're going to eat and we're going to talk. Mm-hmm. I just had a date night, right? But those are things that like I gotta be intentional about that. And then I gotta go make it happen. And then I can accomplish so much. But if you're not intentionally thinking about being a better parent and making those memories and being present for your wife and communicating and stuff, then it's harder to make an impact.
Yeah, living by design and not by default. If you aim at nothing,
you're
sure to hit it every time. So, yeah, live by design. Too many people are just living by default. They're just going with the flow.
Well, they don't know any different, though. Like, they want to do better. They want to be successful, and they want to have a bigger purpose and design. But, yeah, you're right. Like, they want to be a part of a bigger design and plan. But they're, like, I think some people would be willing to do it. but they just don't know how. And that's what we're telling you now. Like, we're kind of giving you some good examples and ways to slowly make that happen into your life. It's not day one. It's not day two. But those small deposits, man, like, you make small deposits in the bank, it's going to add up down the road, right? It's no different than when your priorities and the way you're intentionally spending your time, it's those small deposits that lead down the road to a great marriage, great relationship with your kids, like a great career that you love, that you're thriving in, because you've made those small deposits that get you to that next step, to the next step, to the next step.
I think a good application from today's podcast would be, what is your 20-mile march for this week?
Look at you, bro.
What are the three goals you're going to do this week to make that 20-mile march?
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't that be a simple application?
Nailed it, Pastor Jay. Couldn't have said it better myself. See y'all soon.